Welcome again back to the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your host, guide, mentor, and coach. And with me is my friend and producer, Rishi.
Thank you, Greg. Today we have an exciting episode on shamanism, journey work, and being able to explore the upper and lower worlds. Let's get started.
Fantastic. Yeah, last week we left off with, we talked about a little bit about the inner world and the outer world. The outer world was that of events and circumstances, and the inner world was about thoughts and emotions and feelings and how we actually project into the world our thoughts, emotions, and feelings. So even if somebody moves forward from that last podcast and moves forward into the world and realizes that they control their own emotions, they do have some embedded negativity or disempowering emotions that they brought with them through their life up to this point. And if those aren't taken care of, they're actually sending those disempowering thoughts and emotions into the future, and they keep creating their same reality over and over again because these emotions and thoughts haven't been neutralized, if you will. And that's where shamanism, and there's other aspects of clearing energy, can help out. And, you know, the podcast is going to be short today, or a little bit shorter than a normal time for a shamanism workshop, which takes years and years and years and years and years to learn. But the point of today is just to go over a little bit of shamanism, if you will, the upper and lower worlds, which are completely different than the inner and outer worlds that we talked about last week. Both the upper and lower world in shamanism is part of the inner world. So all this is inner journey work. It's all either through meditation or some intentions of that to do that. And the purpose of journey work in shamanism is to get basically in touch with your trusted source, a higher intelligence that can help you with decisions that you're making. You can also go back to different events in your life and heal or fracture those, or refracture or bring back together, I should say, those parts of your soul that may have been experienced during a traumatic event. So in that, we'll talk a little bit about some journey work. We'll talk about some upper and lower worlds, some power animals, spirit guides, and if we have time, we'll get into some time and timeline empowerment.
Great. Let's get started.
Okay. So shamanism has been around for many, many, many years, and it's not a religion. It's a spiritual practice. It has been quoted or been cited that it started up in Siberia. And basically, shaman means one who sees in the dark. And with many spiritual practices, there are many meanings to that. It could be that you see in the dark in a cave. But the way I like to interpret it is seeing in the dark. That is, when your eyes are closed and journeying, you see, you have visions and are able to see in the dark in that way. So one of the primary aspects of shamanism is journey work. It's a ritual that takes place for the shaman, him or herself, to do either work for somebody or actually even for themselves. And traditionally, there's, depending on what culture, and this is one of the fascinating things with shamanism, is if when the anthropologist went back and looked at some of the recorded events of the different cultures, they all had very similar attributes, but yet none of them ever talked to each other. So where did this information come from? Traditionally, all of them used a drum of some kind to create a beat to ride the wave of the drum, if you will, into the either the lower world or upper worlds. So there was always a drum involved. Obviously, eyes closed. There may be some sort of teaching plant involved to help with the experience. But it's very interesting that all these cultures have very similarities and have very similar experiences in the journey work, but none of them were able to talk to each other. So there's kind of that belief, if you will, that there is a higher consciousness up there that transmits this energy. In biblical terms, it was called the Akashic Records, you know, that the records that have everything that's happened and everything that that will happen is up there. So depending on where you look at it, there are these events that are already there.
With journey work, are you able to get access to these records that tells you everything that happened in your life and anything that will happen in your life, in your upcoming lives?
There are ways, and I just use the Akashic Records as a term that maybe more folks would be familiar with. With journey work, there is, for instance, if you had a decision that you didn't know what to do with, you just were stuck between what should I do, there's a journey work where you can go to what a lot of us would call the lower world, and you... one of the first journeys you would take is to find your power animal. The power animal is, everybody has their own. So you would do a journey work to go find your power animal. Once you found that power animal, that animal would be there to help you with issues of either making decisions or to go back and find parts of your fractured soul to help you with those aspects. So if you had this important decision that you had to make is, should you move out of town to this other place or take this job, you would put the intention of having an answer to that specific question. You would close your eyes and there would be a drumming. And today you can't, it's more convenient to just get a drumming CD and listen to it. But I would say, contact somebody first that is very familiar with shamanism and taking you on the journey, because they can watch over you as this happens. But you would go listen to the drums, go on the lower world journey, which is traditionally you find a hole in the ground that you know of in real life. It could be at the foot of a tree. It could be a cave, someplace that actually exists in this three-dimensional world. And when you close your eyes, you imagine that place and you go down that hole as you're listening to the drums. And as you will start to feel some sensations in the darkness, and then after a period of time, 1 minute, 2 minutes, maybe longer depending on your experience level, there'll be a light and you'll come to that light, another light, not the light of going to the pearly gates, but it'll be... a different light, and that'll be the entrance to the lower world. You'll come into that and you'll see it, and it'll be whatever the lower world is for you. Everybody has their own different one. And once you get there, you will find your power animal. And again, we don't have the time today to go through a specific journey on finding your power animal, but we'll presume that you have already found that. You would go to the power animal and ask it to help you make a decision. And it will do, there's no telling what it would do. It may take you on a journey through or a trip through a forest, on a lake. It'll show you something. Basically, you're in touch with your higher self. And our unconscious thinks in symbols. It represents things to us in symbols, not words. So all the journey work is going to be symbols. It's all symbolic. So whatever power animal it is, it means something to you in some way. It could be a caterpillar, it could be a dragon, it could be a butterfly, it could be a wolf, but somewhere along the line that power animal has significance for you. And so when it brings you to a symbol about the question, you can ask them, what does it mean? And they will give you another symbol. And then after enough time, it may actually talk to you, but generally speaking, the first few times in journey work, it will be all symbolic. When you get the symbol, you say thank you. You come back and you go back the same way you went down to the lower world. There's a drum that calls you back. And then you write down what the symbol is and then you meditate. What does the symbol mean to me as far as my decision? And you sit and meditate on it and you will get the right answer.
Can this journey be used to help heal past traumas and help people who perceive themselves as damaged goods?
Absolutely. That's one of the main blessings that a shaman can bring. She can help her client not relive the past trauma, but understand that there is a segment, if you will, a piece of the soul that is maybe not in touch with the rest of the pieces. Some people say it's fractured. Some people say it's lost. It depends on your belief on the power of what a soul can be. Can a soul really be fractured, or can it be just numbed, if you will? But traditionally what happens is, you know, as children or even as adults, when we have a very, very traumatic event happen to us, you'll hear people say, a piece of me was lost that day, whether it was through some sort of a violent act done to them, or if they experienced the death of a close one. Is a common phrase that, you know, a piece of me left that day. There's something that's left that day. There's a piece of me that's shut down, that's numb. And you hear that because that's exactly what happened, is there is a part of the individual's soul, if you will, that had to protect itself from that trauma, whether it was either to them physically, mentally, emotionally, or to someone that they dearly loved. And so that piece of the individual goes away and hides. And it hides in a very dark corner of their reality. And the shaman will then come and help that individual go look for that. And again, there's different ways depending on the shaman. Some will do the journey for the client into the lower world, find out where the lost souls are, ask permission to go find that specific piece of the soul of the client, bring it back and blow it into the client, and then bring the client around. Others will help the client find their soul themselves because it's actually theirs and they can have a better communication with it. But that is one of the primary purposes and again, blessings of seeing a shaman, is to help get a person whole again and neutralize that past experience.
Are you able to do all these for a client that you mentioned, discovering their soul, or do you work with a client and help them discover their soul?
Well, what I do is if somebody's coming to me, they usually know that there's something missing. They feel an emptiness, they feel a numbness, and many times, unfortunately, the person doesn't know the event. They absolutely don't know what happened. They just know that there's some trauma and they just don't feel right. They don't feel connected. And so it could take several sessions. I personally like to have the individual journey for themselves, and I will help them with that. There are several ways that I can help them. Perhaps the first journey I will do for them and go down and talk to their power animal and talk to the keeper of the lost souls and let them know that my client's going to come down and work with them. Once I've, if you will, cleared the way and gotten permission, I'll come back and talk to the client about that. But there, it's a process where you just don't come in and lay down and go look for your piece of your soul. There is a progression because it can be very traumatic. And so one of the things you need to do, I recommend, or I practice, is having the person find their power animal. Because with the power animal, they can walk. The power animal can help them in this lower world journey. The other one is, if you go to the upper world journey, that's where you find your spirit guide. And there are subtle differences in the two, which go beyond the scope of this podcast right now. But the spirit world is where there could be somebody, a family member that has passed away, or a fictitious somebody. It could be Jesus or Buddha or Mahatma Gandhi, or it could be anybody that has a spiritual nature to them that can help you with those matters. Your power animals, lower world, it's a different issues. And again, it goes beyond the extent of this podcast to get into those differences.
Can someone go ahead and skip to the upper world without having to journey to the lower world, or is that something you do not recommend?
It's not a matter of skipping. It's a matter of each one has its own purpose. So it would be they're both used for different purposes. So if you're having a challenging issue, wanting to find your piece of your soul, you would most likely do a lower world journey. if you had some connections of the spiritual type of nature, you would go to your upper world. And there is also a middle world, which is the world we're in right now. And there's ways that you can transform or go back and forth during the middle world. And again, it depends on the teachings and where you're learning from the shamanism itself.
When you're journeying into these worlds, are you protected somehow from any kind of psychic attack or any type of other attack that may occur?
Yes, actually, that's part of the other, you know, one of the other aspects of working with a shaman is to help protect you energetically and psychically, if you will. And that's also the job of the power animal, to help you with that. That's why it's important on one of the first journeys to go find your power animal and know that it's with you to help you with those occurrences that come that maybe you find that monster there that is trying to attack you or to convince you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. Your power animal will help you.
If someone were to contact you and say, "Hey, Greg, I read on your website you have this service about the inner journey, the inner and outer world, and I want to use your service to help me practically find myself and find my purpose," what's the process you'd go through with your client to do that?
Well, first would be a conversation about basically where they are and what makes them think or believe that there's something going on. Not that I doubt it, but being a coach as well, also spiritual counselor and, you know, personal trainer, all of those have different remedies or different solutions. So what a person may perceive as, you know, missing their soul, it may be just inappropriate thinking, and I can help them with the thinking process. It could mean just getting out to exercise and they'll feel better. There's different aspects. So trying a lot of the first conversation would be is, what are they doing now in their life? What's going on? What are the results that they're getting? And then working through the mind first, because with the mind, the thoughts, if a person goes back and recaptures part of their soul, if you will, but their thinking is still inappropriate, they're going to think that that soul hasn't come back. So having to get them to understand a more empowering way of thinking first, and then also I really love physical activity, so get them working out at some level, either walking or doing some physical activity, and then working in the spiritual world.
What's the typical candidate that would need this type of spiritual work? Suppose the physical activity and the mental activity, mental thoughts and practices are not working for them. What would your typical candidate be for this type of work?
Well, I could say everybody, but but you know, part of it is we all experience situations in our life that are annoying. That could be a little annoying or a little irritating. And depending on the volume of that irritation, we can put up with it. We move past it. We go, hey, okay, fine. You know, I'll do better next time. But if there is, you know, in life, we're given situations to help us learn, and it's learning because we have issues we have to resolve mainly, right? So it's these thoughts that may come from these beliefs. Again, we talked about, right, thoughts come from beliefs, come from values, and that can come from percolate up from a trauma that has happened. So if you have been beaten your whole life and you think that's love, well, that's not really appropriate in this day or for love, for accepting love in a traditional manner. So one of the things we have to do is work with, you know, so if you're getting results that are really beyond the normal irritating results and have been repeating and actually escalating, that would be a time to really investigate the mental part, but then go look into doing some journey work and timeline empowerment to go back in time, if you will, and investigate where these traumas happened and then neutralizing them. So, you know, with that, there's again, you know, we're talking a little bit about the upper and lower worlds, which are part of our inner world, and neutralizing the negative emotions or disempowering emotions and thoughts that we have so that we don't cast them before us into our future. And so by working with, you know, power animals and spirit guides and journeying to upper and lower worlds, and it, with a qualified shaman, that shaman, it can be he or she, traditionally the female energy is works very, very well with it as well, that when you get to the level and neutralize that energy, you can then put forth in the future positive, empowering energy, so the results that you are going to get are going to support you in the life that you want to live. Does that make sense?
To me, it sounds like law of attraction on steroids.
Well, I guess, you know, that could be thought of it that way. And you look back on these ancient teachings, whether it is Huna, which is Hawaiian shamanism, or from the traditional Native American that we have here, the Siberian, the Samis in Siberia, which I am, I found out through Ancestry.com, I have strong Sami blood in me. So there's all these different aspects of it, but they've all been doing it to heal people so that they can live the life they want. And it basically is law of attraction, if you will, but it was done as a matter of factly back in those days. It was just like one of those things. You went to see the shaman to get your energy healed, like you go to see a doctor today to get a flu shot.
This is quite amazing information. And it'd be great if the medical community could also look into this type of work as an alternate, not only as an alternate source of healing, but as a supplemental source of healing as well. Would you agree that perhaps this is something that the medical community should have an open mind towards?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, there's been, you know, how nothing really is new these days. Everything has been repackaged and renamed and different things, including NLP, which I'm a big, big fan of. Ted James, one of the developers of a section of NLP called Timeline Therapy, which is now Timeline Empowerment, basically does what shamans do, is they take the individual back to a traumatic time and help them resolve it. And this timeline empowerment has been found extremely helpful for stress syndromes, battle stress syndromes, shell shock, whatever you want it, post-traumatic stress. It's been found very, very helpful because of part of this process is the memory gets stuck. I'm not going to get into a lot of biology here, but when you have trauma, the memory gets stuck in a certain part of the brain, and then it doesn't move to its regular resting spot. So this post-traumatic stress syndrome is that memory is very accessible, and you keep reliving it over and over and over and over again. And so by using shaman journey work or timeline empowerment, you can help the individual go back to the actual occurrence and view it from a different perspective that helps neutralize it, and then that memory moves from its parking spot now to where it's supposed to. And so that relieves that post-traumatic stress. So the medical community is looking at it, but it's called a different name now.
And what's that name called?
It's Timeline Empowerment.
Oh, interesting. And can we talk more about Timeline Empowerment since we mentioned the subject?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, it's with Timeline Empowerment, the concept is we live linearly, right? So we go into the future and the past is behind us, and we have a linear progression to that, which is our timeline. And everybody has their own timeline. Some may go left to right. Some may go right to left, front and back, up and down. Some do curve, but the events occur in a linear fashion, one right after the other, right after the other. So they're not randomly scattered on your timeline as they are in your memory. And so the purpose of timeline empowerment is to, you know, on the positive, well, they're both positive sides, but one is that when you set goals for the future, you actually go journey above, or I'll say journey above your timeline into the future, and you place that goal in your future and look at it, and then you come back leaving that goal there, which is basically kind of a law of attraction, right? You put this goal out there in your timeline. And there's a process of how to elicit a person's timeline and help them work through that. But the setting of the goal first would be, I don't want to say inappropriate, but might not be as effective as if you went back and cleared up the negative or the disempowering energy. Because again, we talked about if you set a goal first without clearing up that energy, you're setting that goal with that disempowering energy, and you're going to keep getting the same results. So part of timeline empowerment, which is very similar in my view to shamanism, takes a person back through their timeline and releases the anger, releases fear, releases guilt. So it releases those disempowering energies based on the first occurrence of that event. It's believed that there is a one single occurrence first that triggers, and then as a domino, as we go through life, that other occurrences build on that first occurrence. So it can happen pre-birth, as you're in the womb, or afterwards. And we'll just take example. Let's say you came out at, you were born, and at 1 year old, something happened, and you had a traumatic experience. Well, from that, that would be the initial event. So from there on, when you grow up through your life, if you've gotten angry, it can be tied back to that initial event. So there's these, in Hawaiian, they call these aka cords, but there's these energy cords that are attached back to that original event. And what happens with traditional therapy is we only take out one of those events with all the other ones there. We don't go back to they don't go back to the initial sponsoring event, if you will. So with timeline empowerment, the individual will go back to the very first event. Even if they can't remember it, the unconscious does, and there's a process where you can elicit that. You go back to that very first event that happens, and then there's a process where you basically neutralize the energy, and then you watch it as it neutralizes all the events going forward. So basically that has now offset that process, and you can now go and set a goal in the future without being concerned that it's attached to those negative energies.
This is very deep. And when I speak to friends in conversation, I'm sure all of us have had that one conversation. Oh, if we could go back in time and change things already. But this is even beyond the whole concept of trying to relive your past. If you had that opportunity, suppose you were like Marty McFly and had a time-traveling DeLorean and you went past and changed something in your life, you'll still have that traumatic memory even if you went time-traveled to a past time in your life and you changed something about that particular moment that you thought would reset everything else that's going to come in your future. You'll still have that traumatic memory in you. And what timeline empowerment to me feels that this is even deeper, because you're going inside your mind to change it, not really physically in time, but within you, within your own depths of your soul and unconsciousness.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. It's a very deep subject that can go on, and I find it, you know, as a mind coach, these are some of the things that I work with individuals, because as I established many times, your thoughts create your reality, and where do those thoughts come from? But with the mind, with the timeline empowerment and shamanism, one of the things that is what is critical to understand is that there is a way that you can actually remove the event from your memory. But if you don't remove the emotional attachment to it, you'll still have that attachment. And actually, that's what happens with soul retrievals and some other aspects. You actually block that part out of your memory, but you still have the negative or disempowering emotions attached to it. What timeline empowerment will do, as well as shamanism, will go back and sever or neutralize the energetic connection and the emotion to that event. So the event is still there in memory, but there's no energy charge around it. So it doesn't have effect going forward. So that you still have it, but there's no energy charge. So, for instance, if you or anybody listening would think back to an event that they just got so pissed off at way a long, long time ago, you know, it could be somebody hit their car or whatever, and they're still holding that emotion. Well, through timeline empowerment, when shamanism, journey work, when you go back and resolve that, you will think back to that time and you'll have no charge to it. There'll be no emotion. You'll still have the memory of it, but there won't be that charge. And it's not the memory that is hurting or is disempowering. It's the energy charge associated with it. So once we release or sever the emotional charge attached to that memory, we can then release the emotional charge attached to all similar type memories.
And without that emotional charge attached to that memory, perhaps you could take that energy and use it for something more positive?
Because energy can't be destroyed or created. It's kind of just, it's there. So what you can do is take that energy, if you will, using those phrase, and use it to put something in the future. So charge that event in the future with an empowering energy and have it like a future pull, if you will. But the challenge, right, with setting goals is that people will set goals out there based on all, and it's supported on all of the disempowering thoughts and beliefs that they're already holding on to. So it's kind of like taking a seed and planting it, but you have it, it's contaminated. So what are you going to get? You're going to get a lousy plant. What you want to do is plant really pure, good seeds, organic seeds, as opposed to stuff that isn't. And that's, so the challenge is that to understand that and then go back and resolve those energy situations so that when you put a goal in the future, it will be organic.
Obviously, this is a process that requires a lot of work and a lot of journeying and finding one's limits. Where can someone, if someone wanted to reach you and consult with you, how they could get help in whether it's timeline empowerment or journey work, what could they do?
Yeah, that's a great one, Rishi. Thank you for bringing that up. I think we've been remiss on I'm providing some contact information. The best way is through my website, and that is www.warriormindcoach.com. There's a list of services that are provided. There's a About Me page, and you can get access to my blog, which I post to every day, as well as the podcast. And in there, there's a Contact Me, and feel free to contact me. We can have a discussion about many of these aspects to see how it can assist you. And the key thing here, though, is with a coach or a shaman, we don't do the work. We're, as shamans call, we're hollow bones. We let an energy, something higher, work through us. So it's actually the client that does the work with coaching. It's the client that does the work with shamanism. We don't do anything. We just kind of are this hollow bone that asks questions and helps them on their journey. So, you know, we don't take the credit for it. It's all up to the client.
Okay. So in other words, if someone's in New York City and wants to consult with you, they don't have to fly all the way to the San Francisco Bay Area every weekend. They can consult with you on Skype or anytime.
Yes. Actually, you know, that's the one thing about – that's a great point, Rishi. That's a really good thing about technology these days is that, you know, with a camera and Skype, can look at the person as they're doing the journey work, can – obviously, there's some testing that has to be done to make sure that the person can handle it correctly and do it in short intervals and larger intervals. But especially with hypnosis, with a camera, can do hypnosis over Skype, some journey work over Skype as well. If it comes down to really tough situations, face-to-face is the best, and I do have availability for an intensive weekend where somebody works with me on Friday, all day Saturday, half day Sunday, and they go home. And it's just working through all those past issues, doing journey work, doing goal setting, basically just scrubbing their past life and planting their future life. And that's a pretty intensive weekend. Alrighty. So as we sign off now, just want to, there's a quote I have that I use and I love it. And I just want you all to remember that every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. If you don't take your rightful responsibility and program your own mind, the world will program it for you. Until next time, be strong.